Why do I conduct my show on this manner? Mundo!
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Eleanor!
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
Mundo!
Got a little bit more cock for you here.
Eleanor!
Bowtie boy got the big snaggeroonie.
Mundo!
Oh, six of my nipples are tingling.
Eleanor!
See why America loves him so much?
Mundo!
I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh.
Eleanor!
I have no idea what's going on.
Mundo!
He was lying.
He said he never tells a lie.
He was lying when he said that.
Eleanor!
I want a cup.
Well, could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
I know nothing.
Think stomach batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourself down.
That's right, it's the show your bosses don't want you to listen to, the show that's going to tell you the truth about how corporate power is turning the American dream into the impossible dream for the working person, the show that rattles the left-wing limousine liberals who sit on their high horses while the working class fights their battles for them, and the show that loves to point out how the so-called professional media is selling us down the river by not reporting the news. It's the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Avecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Our engineer, Sock Puppet Sam, is here.
Glad to be here, Joe.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about this show. But first, Sam, give us the URL for the site.
That's cupojoe.blogspot.com.
And the email address.
joevec@bellsouth.net.
Okay, and I want to thank all my fans listening in at the White Rose Society, my good friend Ben Birch, hosting my archives there. Also, my friends at rantradio.com, tuning in on Mondays and Thursdays. My friends at WNYmedia.net out of upstate New York, and everyone listening in from the blog or from their iPods. Okay, welcome to another show. Sorry I haven't done a little show in a while, but you know I've been busy with the Cup of Joe reports. You've been listening to those Monday through Friday on Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid and on other places. They're all on the blog, and you can see them there. And I've decided I'm going to try to do more shows when I have somebody here to speak with, and I have a very special guest in the studio named Brandon Lane. Brandon.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great today.
Brandon is from Georgia Watch, which is a consumer advocacy group.
Consumer advocacy and watchdog. Yeah.
Great, great. And my computer's acting up again. Why is this doing this? That's okay. No big deal. I did some technical work on it the other day, and it's starting to go a little goofy.
Working for a nonprofit, I can relate to that.
You can relate to that. Well, I work for a nonprofit too. I don't make any money doing this.
I hear you.
So, though, hopefully that will change in the next year. You spell your name with an E.
I do. Yeah,
that's a very strange spelling.
You know, it is strange, and I've always run into that. Every time someone goes to spell my name, it's with an O, and I'm like, no, it's with an E. So I don't know why my parents decided to do that. I guess I thought I would be unique and different, and I like to think I am.
Maybe it was a typo.
No, I think they intended to. My mom said she wanted it to be different, so she got what she wanted.
She got what she wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, hang on. While we talk here, even though I'm going to make some further sound adjustments here, because sometimes you're really low, sometimes you're really high. This is the power of professional radio,
exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen. This is a professional recording, and I always say that when something goes wrong. And I'm going to be blunt, and I don't mean this to say in this in a mean way, but you're a college guy, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Actually,
not?
No, I graduated from the University of Georgia in 2004.
But that's what I mean. You're a college guy. You graduated from college.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant I was currently in college.
No.
I am a college graduate. I feel like I did get an education, good education from the University of Georgia. Go Dogs. Graduated there in 2004. Studied speech communication, where my primary focus was political rhetoric. mm-hmm. and communication strategies and social movements. Cool. It's very stimulating and interesting and rewarding at the same time.
So have you ever done any like regular type jobs? I mean, I know you have to work
regular
college,
type jobs,
but I mean, have you ever had like worked like where I've worked like in a plant or?
Well, I did work in corporate America for a little while. I used to work for the House of Representatives until there was a switch at the House.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like get
and then
your hands.
Well, no, and then I did. I worked in a sales position, but actually while in college, I did all kind of jobs. I worked at a restaurant.
Okay.
Worked at a bait and tackle shop one time.
So
I've experienced everything. Yeah.
Okay. I don't like to razz college boys because you know I like to point out that I wish more people could have gone to college and stuff.
Well,
like
yeah,
that.
And plus, I think a lot of times people they go to college, but you know their mom and dad support them all the way through college, and mm-hmm. they don't work, so they get out of college and they're like, they don't understand what it means to really, you know. Work hard and enjoy yourself, but you know at the same time kind of contribute to other things besides right. just your job.
And UGA has a reputation for being like a football only college,
yeah.
but it does have some good programs. I met some people who have either gone there or who have lived here for a while and talk about UGA. And I'll tell you my UGA joke. You may not like it because the big
I'm a big dog fan, so I might not like it.
Okay, well the big rivalry here is Georgia and Georgia Tech.
Oh yeah, and my coworker went to Tech. So.
And the joke I always have is that after the big Tech Georgia football game,
yeah.
the Tech alum and the UGA alum meet at lunch, and the Georgia guy and the Georgia had just beaten the crap out of Tech as they
usual.
Almost always do. Yeah, The Georgia guy's just going on and on about it and ragging on the Tech guy, blah, blah, blah. And the Tech guy finally says, I'm very happy for you. Can I have my fries now, please?
Oh.
So, I'm sorry. That's a mean one. I'm sorry.
That was pretty good.
I'm sorry. I know a couple of UGA graduates. My friend Don Timmy, who's been on the show a couple of times, he likes that, even though he's a UGA graduate.
Yeah, we do. We get racked a lot about being just predominantly a party school or a football school, but I think UGA's made a lot of strides. It's one of the top public universities, especially for the best value for your buck, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been actually, if I could find a way to do it, maybe not UGA, probably Georgia State because it's closer to where
yeah.
I'm at, and I've got some other friends that I've known who went there. Anyway, let's not talk about that too much because we want to talk about Georgia Watch. You're a consumer advocacy group.
We're a consumer advocacy group, but primarily we're a consumer watchdog, and our basic purpose is to educate Georgia families.
Cool.
As a 501c3 nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, our RRS status makes it where we have to spend 80% of our funds directly educating Georgia families.
There you go. Well, that's cool.
So our issues are personal finance, which is banking issues and predatory lending issues, insurance and health care and patient safety.
Okay.
So we travel around the state, like I said, primarily educating Georgia families on those issues. And then we spend some of our funds, especially during the legislative session, to make sure and monitor and be a watchdog for Georgia families that there's no legislation being passed that is not going to be beneficial for Georgia families and taxpayers.
Right. And do you have any specific bills that are going on right now?
We do have specific bills. There are two bills that are coming out of the House. As I said, one
You're
of our
You're talking about the Georgia House now.
The Georgia House, right. Yes, the Georgia House. All this is with Georgia politics.
Okay.
There are two bills coming out of the House right now that deal with the title pawn industry. We've been a big advocate for reform in that industry.
Okay, let's explain that real quick for our viewers.
A title pawn.
A title pawn is a place where...
Okay, basically, an individual goes into a title pawn shop, and they take out a loan, let's say, for $500. Well, legally, up in Georgia, a title pawn business can charge the borrower 300% APR.
Okay, wait. You're talking about title
The title to
car.
Your car. The
yeah.
title to your
okay.
car.
Okay, just want
to
make sure people know.
That.
Yeah.
It's the title to your car. So you go in there with the title of your car... Excuse me. You give them a copy of your title, and you give them a copy of your keys, and they get your address, you know, all that kind of stuff, so they know where your car is. And if you're one day late on your payment, they can come and repossess your car. And then what's even more sad about that, Joe, is that they can take your car and sell it and pocket the difference. So let's say you have a car valued at $5,000, and you take out a $500 loan. Let's say you had an unexpected family emergency. Your kid falls off a jungle gym set at school, and because of the situation many of us find ourselves in right now, we're uninsured.
Right.
So they go into a title pawn shop, and they give the title of their car, take out a $500 loan. Well, can you imagine paying 300% APR on a $500 loan? They're one day late. That person gets to go and take their car, and they get to pocket that difference. So if you have a $5,000 car, like I was saying, they can pocket $4,000 just off of one transaction.
Right, and then you still have to pay back the loan.
And then you still have to pay back the loan. So what we feel right now in Georgia, the usury rate is 60% on any type of loan that you take out. But for some reason, Georgia legislators have carved a special exemption for the title pond industry where they get to charge 300% interest. And I mean, that's just not fair to give benefits to one industry.
Well, I think the whole industry is set up. I mean, not just title pond places, but many years ago, I went out and I wanted to get a decent used car.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a lot of money, but I had some money that I had from when I was working in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get maybe a $3,000 or $4,000 car.
Mm-hmm.
That I could pay like maybe half down and then just pay the rest in small installments.
Exactly.
You know, something that would get me back and forth work. I'm not looking for luxury. I'm not looking for, you know, a Mercedes or anything like that. But instead, they got me to sign off on a new car. And they said it was actually easier for them to get me to buy a new car than it would to get me to get a loan for a used car. And I wasn't entirely happy with that, but I thought, well, I'm working now. And I'm doing pretty good, and I can afford these payments, so I'll go ahead and get it. And, of course, I wound up losing my job and eventually losing the car and all that. And I thought it was – you know, if they had allowed me to go ahead and buy one of the used cars that they had in their lot for $4,000 or $5,000, because I had it, like, for 2 years before I finally lost it, then I might have been able to keep my car. And in this case, you know, if I had owned the car outright, if I had gone to – you know, because I was out of work and I just needed money to pay the rent and bills, if I had taken out a $500 or $600 loan, that would have maybe covered 1 month's rent.
Exactly.
Not even that. And then they could have sold that car, and it was still a relatively new car, so they could have sold it for, like, $9,000 or $10,000, pocketed all of that. And so I still have to pay them back.
It's very interesting you bring that up. I mean, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, I believe it was in 2004, they summed it up best when they said that, you know, Georgia consumer laws, the philosophy is not borrower beware, it's borrower be damned.
Yeah.
The title pawn industry, for example, it's an industry that was birthed right here in the state of Georgia. Something to be proud of. But
I didn't know that.
You know, I mean, it's something that it devastates families because you think about when you lose your car – obviously, we don't have the best transit systems in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are trying to make steps towards that. But, you know,
no,
this
actually,
is someone.
Not, but that's another story.
Yeah, that's another story. But that's someone's lifeline. I mean, that's their trip to church, their trip to school, work, getting their kids to soccer practice or Little League baseball if they want to play.
When I was working at Siemens up in Tucker, before Siemens moved the plant to Mexico, which they're still in the process of doing, which is another thing
that you could talk about. Definitely.
But before I had a car, I went up to I had to take the bus to get there, and it would take me about an hour and a half to get there by the bus, to 2 hours. Actually, about 2 hours, closer to 2 hours. Got to take the bus to the train station, train one stop over to another bus, and that bus kind of went a roundabout way to getting where it went.
Yeah.
And I would get a ride home, and that was fine. But if you go by car, because it's right up off the highway, it only took me about 15, 20 minutes to get to work. That's a huge difference in somebody's life.
Exactly. It really is. And so we're just – you know, we really want to make sure that we don't want to shut down the title pawn industry.
I understand your point of view, but you know something? Any place that does business like this doesn't deserve to be
Well, exactly, exactly. And that's why we think there should be parameters that they should operate within. So we feel that we should at least lower the cap or at least offer some kind of credit counseling to potential and definite borrowers. And also, you know, give them that money back once you repossess the car and pocket the, and don't let them pocket the difference.
Make it so that maybe if they do sell the car, they should get half of what they
at least,
sell
yeah,
for.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Because that's just stealing from people as far as I'm concerned. You can put a legal tag on it. But, you know, I could walk into a liquor store with a gun or even without a gun, pretending I have
Let's
a gun.
Hope you don't.
And knock it off for $50 and get 10 to 20 years prison for something like that, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
But somebody basically rips people off like this, even though – excuse me, they might follow some letter of the law. They don't only get off scot-free. They're continuing to do it
exactly.
over and over
exactly. And we found that a lot of these title pawn brokers are not following the laws that are in place right now, which there are very few, but they're not even following the ones that are in place. Our staff actually went out to title pawn businesses in one metro Atlanta area, and we found that, you know, these people are not providing APR. They are not talking to you about late fees and penalties.
Right.
You know, and if you're a – I'm not saying that you're an unsophisticated borrower, but if it is an unsophisticated borrower, or let's say someone who doesn't speak good English, a Hispanic customer, or a lot of times we find that military personnel that are right out of high school, you know, if they get in a quick cash crunch, they go and, you know, purchase one of these title pawn products.
Right.
And, you know, it's just unfair that – we feel that these this industry is preying on vulnerable, unsophisticated borrowers, and something needs to be done about it.
I think it's rather sickening myself.
It is. I mean, you can tell you're nearing a Georgia military base by the presence of two things. Obviously, an increase in the number of American flags, mm-hmm. and then you see neon glowing signs that say, quit cash with your title pawn.
Oh, yeah. I'm a serviceman myself. Yeah. I was in the Air Force, and I served in places across the country and, in fact, a couple areas around the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see it in the States, you see it all the time. And, of course, even around the world, there are industries set up to deal with, you know, the soldiers that are there. I mean, Misawa, we had, Yellow Brick Road and or Yellow Pole Road, I should say, and the Bar Alley there, which is where all the bars were.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, they were just places of regular business. I mean, you go in there, you get a beer or you get some food, and they charge you reasonable prices for
it. Yeah, exactly.
But here in America, it seems they just try to rip you off.
Well, it's sad because, you know, here these soldiers are. They're over in Iraq. They're over in Afghanistan. They're deployed throughout the world, you know, trying to protect our country and do what they're told is needed. But yet again, we're not protecting them. And another sad point is that I believe it's around 60% of our state here in Georgia, their servicemen and women get such paltry pay that they qualify for the earned income tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, military financial counselors from around the state came to our office and convened here in Atlanta, and they came with us with the same concerns, that they said they are daily dealing with military personnel on their bases that are becoming victims of these title pawns.
We live. You saw the neighborhood where you came in here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And this is off of Covington Highway here in Atlanta, around by where 285 is,
exactly,
in Decatur, actually. And it's not the richest of neighborhoods, although
it's a nice neighborhood.
There's some nice family houses here and stuff like that. But you know, if you go down Covington Highway, you know, it's not very well developed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked up and down the street, there's a lot of these car shops. And there's a lot of little places like that mm-hmm. are basically exist. In fact, in the shopping center here, there's one of these renter centers, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, where you can supposedly rent to own, but you wind up paying far
sometimes
more.
Triple what you would pay for an actual product.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when you can go to a – well, I don't want to say Walmart because I always urge people to boycott Walmart. But you can go to an IKEA or a place like that.
You can even go to a thrift store and buy
a thrift store and buy stuff. I mean, I'm a big fan.
I'm a frequent purchaser – or thrift stores.
There's one – in fact, I'll tell you. There's one up on if you go to – I don't know if you know this area that well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go up to Memorial Drive here,
Memorial.
Hang a left, Belvedere Shopping Center, there's a place called Value Village.
Value Village.
That's one of
I've
the
been
best,
there.
Yeah, it's one of the best
I bought
stores.
Most of my Christmas ornaments from my Christmas tree.
I buy a lot of my clothes there. And in fact, I'm such a cheap SOB. I'm not cheap. I'm broke. Let's say it that way. But I'll go there and I'll buy, like, I bought these jeans there.
Yeah.
And I got a sewing machine there also.
Yeah.
And I have my own pants because I'm a big guy who's short.
Uh huh.
So I'm like 5'2 and weigh about 210. So I got a big waist, which means I got like 40, 43 waist.
Yeah.
And I have to buy pants and hem them. And hemming them costs like $7 to $10 a pop.
Yeah.
And that's expensive. I can't afford to do that, especially if I'm only paying $3 or $4 for the pants to begin with.
Yeah, they've got some swanky stuff out there. I got a really cool velvet jacket. Wore it to a Christmas party, and everybody was like, man, where did you get that? And I'm like, Value Village? They're like, I went to Bloomingdale's and paid $300 for mine. You paid $15.
I got
my
leather jacket there. Yeah. That's probably worth about $150,
$200.
Exactly. I got it for $5.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you know. There's definitely value at the thrift stores.
But even when I was in the service, though, whenever I saw these little renter center places, and I see them advertised, and it's, oh, look at the great furniture and great stuff they have. But you know, if you miss one payment, you
I
have to start
over.
Yeah, exactly. And you miss one payment, and you got to pay the whole thing over again.
That's the same way it is in the title pawn industry.
And you know, it's like, no, you know, that's just wrong. And, you know, I do think we need to do something about it. I'm not sure with a pro-business assembly, and I'm not going to talk about party too much because this really should be a bipartisan issue.
It is, and it should be.
Unfortunately, it's not, but it really should be.
Well, one thing we are finding, though, finally in the state of Georgia, is that we have seen that there is starting to be some bipartisan support for some regulation and some reforming of this issue. As we were talking about earlier, possible legislation, you know, we're always watching the legislation. There are two bills right now, one by a Democrat and one by a Republican, and they're working together on a collaboration. One would be to lower the APR to 60%, which is the capped usury rate in the state, have nothing above that. And
which
the
is
other
still
one,
pretty high to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. It is. But at least it's a start. And then the other one would be to not let the person be able to pocket the whole difference of the repossession of the car.
Okay. Well, let's.
So that's a start.
let's take a little break here. We're going to hear from our friends at BuzzFlash.com, and I want to talk a little bit more about the credit industry.
Okay.
And I want to talk a little about Walmart too, because that also has a lot of there's a lot of stuff about that going on.
Okay.
So we'll be back in a bit. Sam, play us out.
We'll be right back with more of the Tucker Joe Radio Show.
Back to the BuzzFlash.com GOP Hypocrite of the Week. No doubt you expected us to honor the infamous Jack Abramoff as our GOP Hypocrite of the Week, but frankly we think he's such a behemoth of hypocrisy and corruption, we wanted to give some recognition to one of the lesser known GOP hypocrites. There are so many laboring in the vineyards of hypocrisy obscurity, while celebrity hypocrites like Abramoff get all the press. Take, for example, Minister Lonnie Latham of the South Tulsa Baptist Church in Oklahoma. The Reverend apparently thought he was pastoring to police when he was arrested for propositioning a male Oklahoma City police officer. The ministry claim is puzzling when you consider that, quote, Latham, who has spoken out against homosexuality, asked the officer to join him in his hotel room for oral sex, unquote. In fact, quote, he has also spoken out against same-sex marriage and in support of a Southern Baptist Convention directive urging its 42,000 churches to befriend gays and lesbians and try to convince them that they can become heterosexual if they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and reject their sinful, destructive ways. Yeehaw! Well, mistakes do happen, but not many police officers get fellatio confused with preaching on behalf of Jesus. Latham has a family, and the South Tulsa Baptist Church was quick to put up a note on its website expressing their support for the minister and his loved ones. But BuzzFlash can only say that we've never read any religious tract that says you can find Christ through a blowjob. So, for that bizarre religious claim, we feel compelled to bestow the honor of the BuzzFlash GOP Hypocrite of the Week on Reverend Latham, in the category of perverse religiosity. Remember our motto at BuzzFlash.com, so many Republican hypocrites, so little time. Catch up with you soon.
We're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the URL for the site is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. Once again, thank everybody listening in on Rant Radio at wnymedia.net. And on their iPods, and of course at the White Rose Society. And we're sitting here with Brandon Lane with an E,
from
Georgia Watch. And that's www.georgiawatch.org. Is that
that's
correct?
That's it. Just
spelled the way it sounds. No dashes, no thing. GeorgiaWatch.org.
Yep.
Is there a GeorgiaWatch.com?
Maybe
somebody selling watches or something?
You know, I haven't checked that. We have had people, though, call our office and be like, do you fix watches? And we're like, no. We get all kind of calls to our office on so many different issues and just like...
No, we don't fix watches.
We don't fix watches. Or, you know, I got some bad product in the mail, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, yeah, we would love to help out everyone, but as a, you know, a nonprofit with limited resources, you can only stretch yourself so far.
So you're not like the Better Business Bureau, right?
No.
I remember, I got to tell this story. I used to work for a place called Roman Coin Pizza down in Orlando. Very nice little pizza place, family run. And they were there mainly for the Orlando Navy base. That's where they did most of their business. And, of course, when the Navy base went away, so did Roman Coin Pizza.
Course.
But we were right next door to a dry cleaner.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one time I was standing there in the afternoon, and it was a slow day. And me and Don, one of the co-workers, was just sitting there watching the customers in the shopping center there. And a couple of people got out of a car with a couple of trash bags. And Don said, hey, Joe, watch this. And they came into the place, and Don said, we're not a laundromat. And they walked out again. And he said, every now and then, because we're next to a laundromat or a dry cleaners, people think because we have the term coin in our name that we are a coin laundry. And like nobody sees the word pizza, they just see coin. You know, look, I'm all in favor of consumers, but let's face it, some people are just plain stupid. And I mean, I get that. I work for Papa John's now, and I swear to God, out in Lithonia, they must put something in the water because we get some of the dumbest people.
Yeah. I don't want to say they're stupid. I just think they don't know better sometimes.
You can't say that they're stupid.
Well, I mean, I really don't think anyone is stupid. I think they just might not know better. I'll put it that way.
You know, you would think, though, that the regular customers, you know, when they call up and say, do you deliver? No, we don't deliver.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on.
I've worked at a pizza delivery place before. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of course, what really gets me is that we get people who call in and they want to know what the menu practically is. And I got four lines on hold and everybody's busy. And meanwhile, I'm taking 15 to 20 minutes on a customer who's maybe smoked a couple of joints or something and is looking to inventory our shop there. Okay, let's get back to... Let's get back to talking about – now, we were talking about the Rent-A-Center places, but let's talk about a combination of a couple of things because it all kind of fits together. We talk about the credit industry and the healthcare industry.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the credit industry first. And you talked about APR. First of all, what does APR stand
for? It's annual percentage yield.
Okay.
So basically, it's what you're going to be paying your interest off of your principal.
Right. And the companies do apparently will change the APR without notice.
With notice, they'll just tell you they did it. We have found actually the first time I met you, a woman brought it to my attention that she had her APR changed because she was late on a payment to a few utility companies.
And sometimes even if you're not late on a payment, they'll
do it exactly. Too. So and that could be because you've had too many inquiries into your credit score, different things. You know, I cannot stress how important it is to get your free credit report.
You know, I'm afraid to get a free credit report. I'm afraid to hear what people have to say about me because let me tell you something. Because of the car and because I had several credit cards and that I tried to be responsible about, but when my financial situation got real bad, then everything went kablooey. And I actually started getting angry when people started. So, look, I haven't worked – in fact, for the last – over the last 3 years, I've maybe worked 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay, so that really can put a dent in your income.
Oh, definitely.
And if you don't come from a rich family, like some people do, then you can really be hurting because my family, you know, is not rich and they're not able to help me out. And, you know, a lot of that – and it goes into the other issue that we're going to be talking about, although we're going to continue talking about this, that I had a sick wife for a long time, as regular listeners know. So but, okay, they do change your percentage.
They can. And like you said, I mean, you get it unexpectedly sometimes. You know, you just get a piece of paper in the mail on your usual statement that says your APR has been changed.
And now they just had the bankruptcy law passed. How does that affect not? That just makes it easier for them to go after people, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does. But I think there are still certain clauses in laws that are federal laws that protect the credit card companies. So I don't really think there's been enough there's been a big enough push to reform the credit industry.
Well, it's because, you know, it's deep pockets. And when I talk about election reform, this is what I talk about. Mm-hmm. I mean, the politicians need that money more than they need our vote. And it's really kind of a shame to me that a person who represents, say, 50,000 or 100,000 people and their votes, who has sway over their votes, doesn't have as much clout as someone who can donate $50,000 to $100,000 to a political party. And I think that's one of the big issues.
Yeah, and I think that's why our job at Georgia Watch is so imperative to be a watchdog.
Well, I think what's important for you guys to do is just keep harping on this issue.
Because, and we do.
because you keep it out in the public eye. And even though you mentioned the AJC, but you know I'm not the biggest fan of the professional media because they have their fingers in a lot of the same pockets themselves. And it's very difficult for them. I don't want to say difficult isn't the right word. They don't have any vested interest in doing that. They're not there to be a watchdog for the consumers. They're there to be a watchdog for their corporate interests.
Well, I think that I definitely understand your point. But I think there are people, you know, sometimes in mainstream media that do still maintain that separation of the corporate influence and the media conglomerates.
Yeah, but they're much fewer and farther.
Oh, definitely.
And they don't have anywhere near the type of power that their editors and their supervisors have. Because it used to be...
But fortunately, there are some columnists that, you know, do step out there on a limb and,
oh, sure,
and really write the truth.
Paul Krugman of the New York Times, Frank Rich of the New York Times.
Jay Bookman right here in Atlanta
is
a great author.
Jay Bookman's very good. I like Cynthia Tucker,
too. Cynthia Tucker, yeah.
And, you know, they do have some people there, but for the most part, you know, it's AJC's not a Tribune. No, they're Cox. What am I saying?
Yeah.
And Cox pretty much has a monopoly for the most part on communications. But, you know, this podcast and other shows and other venues are out there taking it back slowly, because I think it's saying something about newspapers in this country, in Atlanta in particular, where the population has gone through the roof, but the circulation is going down.
And
that's true for a lot of papers in the country, of course. But in your case, you know, for Georgia Watch, I think it's important for you to keep the bullhorn going. Keep that yelling out there, because this way people know what's going on. Say, hey, look, you're being ripped off.
Yeah.
And I get angry at a lot of working people who put up with crap at work and who just, you know, like they'll go into Walmart, and I don't want to get any huge harangue about Walmart because that's not what you guys do, but, you know, they'll scream, oh, low prices at Walmart, low prices at Walmart. But in the meantime, because of Walmart, they're getting less pay, less security, you know, and all that. So, and getting back to a little bit of what I was talking about before, you're talking about the an emergency happening. As in my case, the reason I was out of work for two of the last 3 years is that I had to spend a lot of time dealing with a sick wife. And if you have a situation like that, then things become impossible. Now when I get credit card stuff, you know what? I just throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
We don't have debtors' prisons in this country, thank God, although I wouldn't be surprised if somebody would start to pass laws along those lines. But, you know, it's like after a certain point, you just got to say – And I advocate this for people. If you're really in a tough situation and you can't afford it and you're just struggling to pay the rent and bills, then you know what? Throw the credit card bills in the trash.
Yeah.
Let them deal with it. And I know Georgia Watch probably can't officially advocate that position, but a lot of times I think you just put in that position.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times consumers in our state, even around the country, obviously, they are put in that situation. I mean, for me being right out of college, only just at 2 years, you know, I guess I'm one of those fresh customers that they see, you know, right out of college, has some new expenses, student loans, different things like that. I mean, I come home daily to a credit card offer in my mailbox. There are numbers that you can call to opt out from those free mailings, those solicitations. And also, fortunately, right now, we were talking about you know, your credit score and everything. There is a bill on the House side by Representative Rob Tillet right here in Metro Atlanta. It's an identity theft bill. And what it would enable consumers to do is to freeze their credit. And that, you know, leads to a lower chance of getting your identity stolen and your credit score being lowered as a result. Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in the U.S. And that's largely associated with phishing. I'm sure you've heard of that, where you go on, you know, people send you solicitations through email. You think you're logging into a legitimate website.
Right.
Just make sure it always says HTTPS at the top of the browser when you're putting in a page. But
I just tend to ignore all that stuff. I mean, every day in email I get several different versions of the Nigerian scam.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've got this money in this bank account. Yeah, their spouse has died, and they have to funnel you this money.
No, I'm savvy enough and been around the computer world long enough. What I think is funny is when – and I know when they're coming – because I'll see these emails with really weird subjects, and sometimes they just quote something from a book. And they've gotten very clever, because you can't spam these out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're really not coming from the same place. And then once – you know, what they're doing is they're phishing. They're seeing what emails are active and what aren't. They're just throwing out random names. So then when they verify that this is indeed an actual email address, it doesn't bounce back to them, then they'll sell you the ads for Viagra or Cialis or whatever all the other ones are. And I'm and I wonder if
enhance your manhood and then lose a bunch of money.
I wonder how people fall for this. But I guess there are people who are still – and, you know, when they first started doing phone solicitation many years ago, and I used to be a telemarketer, I'm ashamed to say, for a short time, never again.
I was in sales for a little while.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people, a lot of elderly people, who just simply assumed that, you know, everything was on the up and up, and it's not always on the up and up. And
definitely,
they, you know, some of them were just lonely seniors who just liked to have somebody to talk to for a change, and others were just, you know, just assume, oh, this sounds like a very good deal, and they don't realize that they're being ripped off.
Yeah.
So.
It's sad.
But if you have a circumstance like I had, where you had a sick wife for a long time, you really don't have a whole hell of a lot of resources.
No, there. Mm. And I'm glad you brought that up. You know, you're talking about if you have a medical emergency. One of the other issues we work on is patient safety. And I'm sure – I hope a lot of your listeners – I'm sure they've heard about so-called tort reform. You know, I like to think of reform as something that is positive, that moves society forward. Yeah. But, you know, what our legislators did last year in this omnibus bill was it's called Senate Bill 3, was they basically stripped away all accountability in the state's medical facilities. And let me make sure that your listeners know this. We are not anti-physicians. I have a brother-in-law who is a physician and my sister who is a nurse. So I'm not against the medical community. But a lot of people think that since Georgia Watch works against tort reform that we are anti-doctor. But there are more physicians that are starting to realize
– Well, you're anti-insurance companies.
We're not anti-insurance company. But
you're anti-their practices.
Some of their practices we disagree with.
Okay. You're really being specific here, and I appreciate that.
Some of their practices we really disagree with. And the reason why is last year when Senate Bill 3 was being passed swiftly, it only took 14 days to go through the Senate and finally be signed into law by Governor Perdue right around Valentine's Day of last February. Not at a single committee hearing leading up to the passage of the bill was there ever any testimony on behalf of the insurance industry. Right now, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners reported that property and casualty insurers, which includes medical negligence providers, have assets totaling over $1.3 trillion.
Good Lord.
Yet at the same time, they are saying that because of frivolous lawsuits – we've heard that rhetoric, and I'm sick of it – but they say because of frivolous lawsuits, they're being driven into the poorhouse and doctors are being driven out of our state.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well,
that's
what we have found is that since 1985 to 2003, this is an actual study that was sent out by the U.S. Department of Justice. The number of tort trials actually declined by 80% from 1985 to 2003. So basically what you had was a lack of accountability and an increased amount of rhetoric that funneled down from the national level through our state that said that frivolous lawsuits were driving up insurance premiums. Yet because the insurance industry is so deep-pocketed, they were able to influence, you know, policymakers, and they didn't have to testify at the hearings.
Well, it goes back again to election reform. Which
exactly.
If we could get that, then maybe we can get politicians who would be accountable to their constituents instead of accountable to the insurance companies.
Exactly. And, you know, what's really sad about Senate Bill 3, and, you know, you're telling emergency, one, the clauses in Senate Bill 3 is the ER immunity clause. And fortunately, right now, it is being looked into again this legislative session by bipartisan lawmakers to reform that clause of SB 3 because they made it so tough to hold medical wrongdoers accountable that they carved this part of Senate Bill 3 that said you have to prove gross negligence in the emergency room. So if you go into an emergency room and someone accidentally cuts off your leg, the only way that you can receive compensation for that, for your loss of wages and for your family, you know, losing your workforce earnings being contributed to the family, is you have to prove gross negligence. So that means that the doctor or medical professional that did it knowingly and willfully committed that medical error.
That's almost impossible to prove.
Yeah, that's impossible to prove. And then
unless you're a mind reader.
Well, on top of that, they passed another clause in Senate Bill 3 that caps non-economic damages at $350,000. So let's say you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, you're a retiree, a U.S. war veteran, you know, a grandparent, whatever. Your life has been valued with a human price tag of $350,000.
And it's also it's just a write-off for a big company.
They exactly.
Say, okay, we you know, is this worth $350,000 to do this or not? So they can say, well, it is worth it. So okay, we'll write it off, and we'll, whenever it happens, it just happens, and we don't care. And all it'll cost us is $350,000. See, that's what punitive damages are supposed to be there, not to enrich the person filing the lawsuit, but to punish. That's what punitive means.
Yeah.
But to punish the companies for doing something obviously. And, you know, I'll say this. My wife was in Grady Hospital, and she died there. And they treated her like a queen. Even though we were broke, and my wife was, in terms of economics, nobody, okay? Mm-hmm. But they treated her very nicely, and they did everything they possibly could for her. She had pancreatitis, which is almost always fatal. It's very few people survive that. But they did everything they could to help her out. And when we were living up in Alpharetta, which is a richer area of town, and she had to go up to North Fulton Hospital, they treated her like she was a number. They didn't care because she was on Medicare at the time.
You know, you're talking about, you know, people that are on Medicare or Medicaid that may not have, you know, access to good affordable health insurance.
Right.
You know, and it's a sad statistic. Even Newt Gingrich, our former U.S. House Speaker from Georgia, a Republican, said that he has admitted that over 98,000 Americans die each year as a cause due to medical negligence.
Yeah, but when Newt says that, he's had a big party and he's happy about it. No, I'm just kidding.
No. But, I mean, he – and it's actually formed a unique partnership. He and Senator Hillary Clinton are actually working on this together. Georgia, though, ranks 47th in the nation in quality of care.
That's ridiculous.
And, you know, we're as big as our state is, we shouldn't be ranked that low.
We are – what would we be like, the number four state in electoral votes? Number four, number five? You got California, New York.
Texas.
And I think, like, Georgia is right up there with them.
Yeah, it is right up there.
Because there's a lot of people who live here in Atlanta. And
yeah.
It's, you know, it's a fairly large state.
It's Florida, definitely out of the southeast. It's
yeah,
the largest.
And because, you know, there were a lot more
– besides Florida, yeah.
There were a lot more people coming in from the north who are moving down here to the south to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Single payer. Mm-hmm. People have talked about that, and I'm in favor of anything. You know, the way the healthcare system in this country is absolutely ridiculous. It's wasteful. It's inefficient. You don't get the type of medical care that you need. If we didn't have Grady, you know, my wife would have died months before she did. And, you know, how many Gradys are there in the country? Not many. That cater specifically to poor people, which is their mission. But even with that, I mean, everything takes forever. I mean, to get a pharmacy thing filled, it's usually a 2-day procedure. You got to go there and wait 3 hours one day, and then go there for another 2 or 3 hours to pick it up the next day.
Yeah.
So it's very time consuming for someone who's on Medicaid.
And the majority of Americans do have to receive medical treatment at the emergency room because they don't have health insurance.
That's right, yeah. and that just drives the cost up even more.
And
the companies, you know, and the thing about it is, the reason why big companies are struggling, if they're struggling to pay with stuff, is because of healthcare costs. They had the whole thing about, what was it, a German company that wanted to open up a plant, and they had to choose between Alabama and Canada.
Oh, okay.
And they went to Canada, partly because they were having trouble with the skill level of the workers in Alabama, but also because the healthcare costs were much cheaper for them. Don't you think it would be better if we finally established some sort of system where companies aren't required to do this, where it would something that – you would think that they would be all for that, and you wonder why.
You would think they would be for it because it would make the economy more competitive and it would, you know, create more jobs. Less people would have to rely on state assistant funding.
Talked about Walmart, and
they actually
brag that a lot of their people are on Medicare and welfare, or well, not welfare, but whatever state provided or federal provided program is.
Yeah.
And I think that's sickening. I think it goes against at least what the New Deal built up on.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, let's take a little break
here,
and then we're gonna talk about the credit industry and more about the healthcare industry.
Okay, great.
We'll be right back with Brandon Lane. Sam, play us out.
The Copper Joe Radio Show will be right back.
Head on. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Hi, kids. George Lowe, voice of TV's beloved Space Ghost. You are barking a happy tune with my close personal friend, the lovely Joe Vecchio, on the Cup O' Joe Radio Show.
And welcome back to the Cup O' Joe Radio Show. Once again, we're here with Brandon Lane with an E. I'm going to keep harping on that. I'm sorry.
Don't tell my mom that you said that.
Maybe it was a typo. Sometimes that happens.
I've always asked her about that. I think since I could, you know, write my name like in 4-year-old preschool.
Uh-huh.
Like, Mom, why is my one with an E? Because all the way through kindergarten through high school, through I graduated from high school, there was another guy in my class.
Right.
His name was Brandon, and his was spelled with an O. So,
did you ever see The Odd Couple?
Yeah, that was a little bit before my time.
Yeah, but
I've seen it. Yeah,
I'm an old guy. I remember. But
I was a theater major at one time. And I've seen a live production of it.
And there was a character on The Odd Couple, played by Penny Marshall, who was later in Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
She was Oscar's secretary.
She's great.
There's a reason I'm bringing all this up. So,
okay.
But she had a boyfriend who was played by Rob Reiner, who was in fact her husband at the time. Rob Reiner from All in the Family played Mike Stivic, or Meathead as he was generally known. And his character's name was Sheldon. And, you know, Felix would say, no, Sheldon. He said, no, Sheldon. When they wrote the birth certificate, they forgot the O. Legally, it's Sheldon. So that's what it reminded me of.
I'm going to call my mom tonight, and just I'll reconfirm that, Joe, and I'll email you or call you and let you know for sure. And then you get to all the listeners next time.
Well,
that,
I should talk. My last name is Vecchio, and everybody's like, Vecchio? What the heck kind of a name is Vecchio? I said, it's Italian. It means old. You got a problem with that, buddy? No, I'm fine. Put down the gun, please, Mr. Vecchio. I'm sorry. Okay, and we were discussing the health insurance.
The health insurance industry.
And what you wanted to make a point.
You were, we were talking about how there are so many, one of the fundamental things in our U.S. Constitution, and it was in the state constitution, is that you're supposed to have access to the court system. You know, you're supposed to be able to hold power and corporations accountable.
Right.
And I really think that's something that our founding fathers really set up because they wanted to make sure that we had individual rights and liberties.
Sure.
But with Senate Bill 3, because they have placed a $350,000 cap, or as I was telling you during the break, one of the provisions of the bill is the offer of judgment and settlement provision, where let's say you're a 15-year-old girl and you've been raped by, a man, and you want to file suit against him in the bar who, let it happen. Let's say it happened in the back room of a bar. Well, if the defense's attorney, if the defense offers you a certain amount of money and you do go to trial and pursue it in the courts, if the jury does not reward you more than what the defense attorney initially wanted to give you in litigation, then you have to pay for the defense's court fees and lawyer fees.
So
you could actually lose money against someone that's doing something illegally to you.
They're doing everything they can to make it more difficult for someone to
pursue these
cases.
To pursue a trial. And also, with $350,000 cap, these insurance industries and hospitals are deeply financed. They have well-trained legal teams that are deeply financed. And we get calls almost daily, Joe, that are people across the state, even outside of the state, that cannot find an attorney to take their medical negligence case because the attorney says, I can't afford to do it.
I hear you.
And it's sad. People, yeah. I mean, that is something that is one of the founding principles of our country.
And then when they do get a case where something important happens, they ridicule it. We discussed over the break, and in fact, at the DFA meeting, somebody brought up the infamous McDonald's coffee cup
exactly.
thing. And that has been so lied about. Let me clarify it for everybody listening.
There's so many urban myths going around about that.
First of all, the lady was 80-something years old.
Yeah.
Second of all, she was a passenger in the car. She was not the driver of the vehicle. Third of all, the reason why she was offered so much in punitive damage was because, A, McDonald's lawyers acted like a bunch of jerks during the trial, and B, that McDonald's is already in the midst of several other lawsuits dealing with the same issue. So, even after that, the amount of damages that was claimed, and I don't know what they're claiming now, but that was cut down on appeal. So the system works.
The system does
should.
Work. I mean, usually, a lot of times, the starting point of the reward settlement is offered so highly is because after appeal and after increased litigation, it does get reduced, and it gets reduced substantially. Mm-hmm. But if you do not send a message to these corporations and individuals that are increasingly harming people, you've got to hold them accountable.
I think what we should do is maybe what will help our cause is for the punitive damages, rather than them going to the defendant. And they can always give a certain amount of damages to the defendant because, quite frankly, several $100 million is still not going to compensate for the loss of a loved one,
the loss of a limb and stuff
like that. And what's important is that they recoup the money that they lost because of the criminal or negligent activity of the company. They could take the punitive damages and put it into a general fund or something like that, or a charity where other people get helped out, you know, in some way, shape, or form.
There's numerous avenues to take that if you want to reform our civil justice system to do it, but one of the avenues that we are a strong advocate against is, you know, limiting access to the courts. You know, if you go – like I think I was telling you this in the break, you know, if they want to stop frivolous lawsuits, even though I've told you and your audience, you know, that frivolous tort trials have actually declined by 80% in the past 18 or
they
so
don't,
years.
They don't really exist in the
Exactly. People aren't even getting trials to a jury. It's usually by just in front of a judge. Yeah. If they want to do something about these so-called frivolous lawsuits, why not punish the attorneys that file a frivolous claim, that file a frivolous lawsuit? Exactly. You know, don't – when there's a legitimate concern, a legitimate cause to hold someone accountable – you know, our Constitution was based on that, and I think that it needs to be protected.
And again, you know, we're not anti-lawyer.
I'm not anti-lawyer. I'm not anti-physician. I even told you I'm not anti-insurance company. Mm-hmm. I have family and friends that work in all of those professions.
You know something, Brandon, and I'll say this straight out, and I've said this before. I'm becoming anti the way our entire economic system works. I'm not talking about just the United States. I'm talking about money in general.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it can happen, but I hope that someday we can build a society that has no money, or money plays almost a negligible impact on our lives. Because money is the root of so much of this. There are so many people who are just looking to make a buck, you know, because they don't want to go out in the trenches and work like I have to work and like a lot of other people have to work, that they'd rather do it by winning one big court case. I'm not talking about the people, you know, people who have been seriously damaged. But I think if we can find a way to build a society that's where your value is based not by how much is in your bank account.
Exactly.
And in fact, we don't even have to have a bank account. But I'm not a genius. I'm just, you know, I'm just a guy with a high school education who's got an opinion and a microphone and a means to which.
I know people with high school educations that are much more brighter than people with doctorate degrees.
Well, the thing about it is,
I shouldn't say doctorates, but, you know, advanced degrees.
I'm not smart enough to try to figure out how
and neither
we
am
can
I.
Do it.
Neither
but,
am I.
But I think that eventually we need to find something, because the only way this is going to stop is if you take away that incentive.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well,
because companies
wouldn't
bother if they weren't getting money from it.
Well, I don't think that it'll. And I hate to say this, you know, I'm very much an idealist. You know, I always wish for the best and better, and I always envision a better place out there for us all. I mean, I do feel that money is such a, you know, integral part of what we live off of now.
I agree,
and I don't think that, you know, we'll see it happen, but I do think that we can see, you know, a transcending of values in our country where, you know, we use the money that we have to do good things. We give it to charity. Hint, hint, we need contributions to georgiawatch.org.
As we need contributions to the Cup of Joe show.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm still living on food stamps here, folks.
But, you know, we can use our money to do things like provide universal health care, to provide, you know, insurance benefits to all our employees. And, you know, the economy can be a balanced, fair economy where everybody has a shot.
Well, I certainly don't envision a moneyless society
in our
near lifetimes.
No,
at the
no.
very least. I think it's possible. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how. And I think that people who are much better than me have to start standing up and advocating it. Because, you know, in the long run, money's an illusion.
Yeah.
Money is only real if
you
believe
it's not going to go with you when you leave the earth.
That's right. Yeah. And,
I think the kings and pharaohs of Egypt – we can learn from that in history, because they were the biggest advocates of taking their treasures with them, you know, putting in the tombs. They thought it was going to go with them to the afterlife, but as you can see, as we've excavated all these tombs, they're still there, obviously. You know, and I just think that people do put too much emphasis on money. You know, I'll even admit sometimes I put too much emphasis on material things, but, you know, we can use our money, we can use our economic worth to help those who are less fortunate and to just, you know, better society. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm an idealist and I want that to happen, but maybe one day our legislators, and at least our future legislators, will step up to the plate and deliver.
Okay, well, it's all up to us. And listen, we have to end it here because our time is
running
out.
Thanks for having me. I have enjoyed it.
Sure. Thanks, Brandon Lane, with an E.
With an E.
And we'll talk to you next time on the Cup of Joe.
Okay, sounds great. Look forward to coming back.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, oh, in a jar of John. Don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a hand.
Cup of Joe radio show has been recorded live at the fabulous Studio Al in Decatur, Georgia, and has been produced by Jove Enterprises, Incorporated. Joe Vecchio, the host of the Cup of Joe radio show, is a production of Mr. and Mrs. Vecchio of Brooklyn, New York.
A plate of Dave, creamer of Steve, a mug of Doug, a cup of...